My name is Scott McKay from XMY Communications, and you're listening to this audio program called The Big Four Woman, How to Define a High Quality Woman for Yourself. We're going to start with a review of the Big Four, because the Big Four are the pillars that everything is built upon at XMY Communications. Gentlemen, better men get better women, and when you're a Big Four man, you deserve what you want. That's basically how we roll around here. It's all about being the best version of yourself, and the Big Four is the framework we use to basically define that. Now, the important thing about the Big Four is it's not gender specific. We talk about the Big Four men a lot around here, but we're going to talk about exactly who the Big Four woman is, how to spot her out there in the wild somewhere, how to approach her, how to attract her, and how to make her your girlfriend and eventually build a relationship with her. We're going to indeed start with the definitions of those four pillars and why each one of them comprises a critical portion of the Big Four. The first one is confidence built on competence. Now, confidence is a belief that you can get the job done in whatever situation you're in. I believe that that's built on a belief in one's overall competence, your ability to be able to accomplish what you're setting out to do is coming from a place of, well, know-how, knowledge, skills, and indeed mindset. And it also combines with a strong feeling of self-worth. Now, this means that you will be the friend everyone should want to have, a true professional worthy of career promotion, and indeed will be an attractive partner for women, members of the other sex, right? Well, that's because you believe you should be, and then you go out and you execute based on that belief. Importantly, confidence does not have to be universal in order for you to be a Big Four man. Indeed, some of us are competent in some areas and not so much in others, so it actually is unwise to have an inflated sense of self-confidence when you actually don't have the competence to back it up. That's not only okay, that's actually a reflection on your overall sense of self-worth. You have what I call a sober sense of judgment of what you're capable of doing and what you're not so capable of doing, at least not yet until you acquire those skills. The second pillar of the Big Four, in the case of men, is masculinity that ignites femininity. Now, when we talk about the Big Four woman, she's going to be feminine in a way that ignites your masculinity. Masculinity and femininity are the catalysts of sexual attraction. Their respective elements are best defined by the gender attracted to them, as opposed to the gender exhibiting them. What do I mean by that? Well, importantly, masculinity and femininity are inherently virtuous, not toxic. So that means that if a woman wants a masculine man, she doesn't want a guy who's out to hurt her or somehow make her life worse. What she's looking for are those areas of masculinity that are designed to complement her femininity. Those actually turn her on. Okay. Now, the Big Four man who exhibits this masculinity that ignites femininity is not perverting the virtue at all. Masculine men and feminine women who are of the virtuous kind of masculinity and femininity respectively find each other mutually attractive and turn each other on. A major linchpin of masculinity, of course, if you want to get down to the nuts and bolts of what's actually going on there, what it is about who we are as men that turns women on, well, gentlemen, it's about causing women to feel safe, secure, and comfortable in your presence. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you should always ask yourself, am I putting her at ease or am I making her feel uneasy? It doesn't matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter what endeavor you're undertaking. It is about making women feel safe. This is best accomplished by having a woman's best interests at heart, as opposed to representing a threat to her physically, emotionally, or otherwise. Now, that emotional part is very important. Guys go on first dates and they make women feel stupid or not validated, or that they're just kind of treating them as a sexual conquest. You guessed it. It doesn't make her feel safe and comfortable. She's human just like us. Mature, effective, and benevolent decision-making is key for us as men to make women feel safe and comfortable, right? But similarly, which is important for the purposes of this particular audio, it is absolutely necessary, albeit from a different perspective, for us as men to feel safe with women. When she approves and supports our ambitions and is grateful for them, shows gratitude, she's trustworthy, she's loyal, she's reliable and supportive, then we feel safe with her. Now, when we talk about a woman being trustworthy, it means that we believe she's telling the truth. When we talk about a woman being loyal, we're talking about a woman who we believe will stand by our side as our partner instead of wandering. See the difference there between being trustworthy and loyal? It's subtle, but it's there. Reliable means if she says she's going to do something, she'll do it. And supportive means she's not against what you're trying to do in life. The two of you are on the same path. Importantly, masculine and feminine value transcend mere sexual attraction. They carry over into other parts of life as well. For instance, other men respect, follow, and are influenced by a man who exudes virtuous masculinity. Women who are very confident in their femininity tend to be mentors to younger women and tend to be admired by all women. The third pillar of the Big Four is genuine adoration of women. We're talking about real affection and appreciation towards motos, members of the other sex. This is an absolute must because, gentlemen, if you don't like women, it's unreasonable to expect them to like you in return, right? That's why we cannot let ourselves get angry, bitter, or even jaded after a bad experience or two, or indeed many, with women. Even if you're coming off a really harsh divorce and really feel like you're just sick of women and don't want to try again, you've got to actually adore women, be really glad God created them and put them on this green earth, or else, you know what? That's leadership, and they're not going to like you in return. Okay? Men lead. That's another part of masculinity, is that we are leading in a way that makes women feel safe and comfortable, and women basically feel like they can hitch their wagons to that and provide us with feminine gifts, right? Now, we're going to talk about the Big Four woman and who she is later, but those feminine gifts are all important, gentlemen, and if we try to go through life without them, well, we're living a life half-lived is what we're doing. But that genuine adoration of women is something that's hard to come by nowadays. I would say probably 80 or 85% of guys out there have bad feelings towards women nowadays. That's where you get all the men going their own way and the red-pilled guys, the manosphere stuff. All of this is a pity party for guys who want to give up on women and want to claim that they're all bad and terrible and not worth it. But yet, because we're men and we inherently belong with women, we just can't give it up. That's why there are thriving groups of guys who want to give up on women, yet there they are, and they stay there, and they're obsessed with it. Gentlemen, there are good people of both genders. There are black-hearted people of both genders. And guess what? Most of us have good days and bad days and are somewhere in the middle, but most of us are trying to do better. A handful of tough experiences doesn't change that. If anything, we may need to consider the choices of associations we make with other people, and indeed, the way we're presenting in relationships with other people. Notably, since the world is both male and female, being able to interact effectively with both genders is absolutely integral to success across all areas of life, not just dating and attraction. Gentlemen, men and women are physically designed to be in partnership. Occam's razor says the shortest distance between both points is what makes sense. Well, that just makes sense, so it's likely the case. Men and women were designed to be in partnership. That fourth pillar of the Big Four is strong moral character. Now listen, having a consistent cornerstone belief system in place allows one to understand what is right and to do so even when nobody is watching. Good character empowers one to make effective decisions, maintain a consistent presence, and fulfill on his or her promises. Although an important harbinger of long-term relationship success, consistent good character also promotes well-being and up-levels success everywhere else in this life. Again, social life, career, on the soccer field, anywhere like that. Importantly, however, simply having quote-unquote character isn't enough. Consider how someone can have bad character or even no character. That's because no one ever taught them or they never considered what character would even mean as a part of their own personal identity. But only good character empowers us to deserve what we want. That's why strong moral character, implying good character, is that fourth pillar of the Big Four. Now, the order that the Big Four are presented in is actually significant because each builds on the previous element. For example, one cannot expect to be attractive or influential unless one first believes in one's own power to attract or influence, right? Similarly, once able to boldly seize opportunities to meet and attract women, sexual polarity ensures success at the attraction phase. It's also self-evident that men honor other men who succeed with women. Notably, only those first two pillars of the Big Four, confidence and masculinity or femininity, if we're talking about women, right, are necessary in order for pure attraction alone to occur in a potentially romantic situation. You're confident, you believe women should love you, and you exude this masculinity, she'll be attracted, right? And similarly, if she's confident in her own femininity, you're going to be all over that. You're going to be attracted. That third element of actually liking motos is what allows them to relax and enjoy being attracted. Listen, you've met women before who didn't like men. I mean, she was hot, but she didn't exactly give you the warm fuzzies, right? Now listen, this is doubly important for women to feel that safety and security in that context. Because without feeling welcomed, safe, secure, and actively chosen, which we're going to talk about later, rather than simply settled for, women indeed tend to flake out on dates and pull back from intimacy in relationships. So there you go. Anytime you've been flaked on or women say, you know what, maybe not, that's likely what was going on, is that she was feeling some level of lack of safety and security in your presence. And could that have been because you're a little jaded against women in general? Well, if you're seeing a pattern there with women you're meeting, that could very well be the case. But it also could have been something there in the moment that you weren't making her feel safe and comfortable about. Meanwhile, liking women, that third pillar, and even being non-threatening without the true elements of masculine sexual polarity, that second pillar, tends to lead to the just be friend zone, right? You know, she can feel safe in your presence because you're non-threatening, but that's a lot different than you causing her to feel safe and comfortable in your presence. It's that latter premise that's part of the Big Four. So if you're harmless in that way, without the true elements of masculine sexual polarity, you know what? You can be confident. You can even like women, you know, that third pillar, but she's not going to be attracted. That's very important to remember. You can have pillar one and pillar two in place of the Big Four, and she'll be attracted. If you have pillar one and pillar three without pillar two in place, she's going to put you in the just be friend zone. You're going to land there. And it's not like you've been mean and nasty to her or vice versa. It'll be very friendly. It's just you're not going to have attracted her. That's it. Finally, it's strong character, good moral character, right? That ensures the long-term viability of the romantic relationship, or a business relationship for that matter, by instilling a protracted sense of safety and security over the course of time. Over the course of two decades since the concept of the Big Four was introduced here at XMY Communications, I've successfully defended the validity and completeness of this model, even when presenting before potentially skeptical or even hostile audiences. Now, why is that? Because it flat out works. If you believe you're competent, you're more likely to be able to do what you set out to do. If you don't have that confidence, you won't even try. Masculinity and femininity as the natural, primal, I would say divinely inspired components of sexual attraction, the catalysts of sexual attraction, what causes that sexual polarity to begin with, well then, you have to have those natural primal elements in place or women just won't be attracted. And if you don't like women, they're not going to like you back and vice versa. And without moral character, without that desire to leave the world a better place than you found it and actually do right by women and mankind in general, well, then the whole house of cards falls apart, right? So now let's turn our attention to talking about why the Big Four applies to women as well as men. Now, see, just like better men get better women should get better men, at least if we're not clouded by beauty vision, right? You know, a lot of guys let their little head do the thinking for the big head, and we get into trouble because she's hot, but she ruins our life. Well, she didn't deserve you, right? Now, I could argue that if you make bad decisions, that's not a very Big Four thing to do. That's not very wise, and you deserve what you got. You know, if we're going to talk about deserving what you want, that involves being a person who is Big Four and also making good decisions. That's like a two-edged sword there when we're talking about deserving. You have to earn it, and then you have to choose it. Now, this particular program, of course, focuses on Big Four women. So this is about who deserves you and when she wants you, just like being a Big Four man empowers you to deserve what you want. She needs to be a woman who deserves you in return. That's the woman we're talking about here, gentlemen. And don't worry, man. She can be extremely hot, extremely sexy, extremely alluring. You're going to like who you attract when you're a Big Four man. That promise I can make to you. All right. Now, I must underscore that broken people are not yet Big Four people. I make no apology for stating out loud that psychoses or other serious mental illnesses are disqualifiers. Do those people have the right to find love too? Sure, but not from you, because they'll ruin your life. So now let's turn our attention to giving you crystal clarity on how to identify this Big Four woman, and then we'll talk about how to find her and attract her. Pillar number one of the Big Four, confidence. Gentlemen, we're so used to seeing lack of confidence in women that real confidence, the actual real deal, might catch us off guard. Now see, lots of women practice what I'll call performative confidence, because they desperately want to be confident, and they know they have to appear confident as sort of a protection mechanism. If they walk around completely vulnerable in the bad way, well, then they're going to expose themselves to all sorts of scary things, perhaps especially at the hands of men, at least in their mind. But real confidence as a genuine Big Four trait is amazingly powerful as a catalyst for early stage and long-term connection with a woman. That's because confident people tend to be genuine people, don't they? With no interest in or need to hide anything. So if you've ever wondered why so many women come off as fake, well, it's a direct link to their lack of confidence. Isn't that insane? Men shouldn't be intimidated by a woman's confidence. A lot of truly confident women complain about that. And see, if they are complaining about it, it's usually because men need some work on that first pillar themselves. Confidence is built upon a belief of one's own competence, so a confident woman will be skilled and accomplished in many areas of special importance to her. She's not going to dumb herself down. That wouldn't be honest. That wouldn't be Big Four. So when a woman has that hard-earned confidence based on competence, and you come along and you're intimidated by that, all you're doing is basically screaming to a woman that you lack confidence yourself and you're not yet worthy to be a Big Four man who deserves her. To be sure, as we said before, you don't need general confidence in every area of your life. But if you don't have confidence that women should want you and adore you, that's a heck of a place to start if you're going to be a Big Four man who attracts Big Four women. Now, importantly, a woman's confidence is likely not general, just like yours doesn't have to be. Make no mistake, a woman can be a true badass, but still leave room for you to provide, protect, and even, yes, rescue her at times. Her true confidence will recognize where those boundaries are. It's almost automatic. It's like done for you. Remember, true confidence isn't a front. So it's really cool when she's confident in ways you are, like, you know, doing karaoke duets, cooking challenges, hitting the mountain bike trails together. But it's also pretty amazing when she's confident in ways you are not, and you can accept that as a man. For example, if you're right brain and she's left brain, or vice versa, well, you know what? In my family, that's how it actually is. I'm the talker, the writer, the artist. She's the one who's good at math, who does the taxes, and who figures things out that are kind of technical. I could be jealous of that. I could be insecure about that. But she's wired differently than I am, and together we make a great team. That's how a big four couple should be. Now, a lot of men feel pressure or even that intimidation when a woman has mastered something that they're sort of in awe of or even jealous of. Examples there abound. Just off the top of my head, musical ability, flying her own airplane, sports prowess that exceeds ours. Maybe she was a champion at something and we were kind of a bench warmer. Running her own business when we're still a worker bee somewhere. You know, that can give us a sense of jealous envy, which would make a woman feel like, you know, we're not very confident ourselves. We're not ready to be a big four man who deserves her. When, you know, if we were just confident enough to accept where she's a badass and realize that we're badasses ourselves, probably in completely different ways, the simple, elegant, breathtaking truth, gentlemen, is that would be enough. Now, here's why I know that. You see, a woman will almost never require you to match up with her in an area she has confidently mastered. Now, granted, she may gravitate towards that guy who has an even greater mastery in her area of badassery than she does. I remember one time meeting the first female Thunderbird pilot, and I asked her what it was like to date when you have pretty much the coolest, most macho job in the world, and she proudly told me she was married. And she was married to the guy who's the head instructor for Air Force pilots at Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany. Well, there you go. See, that's exactly what she did. She went and found the guy who was an even bigger badass at her area of expertise than she was. But realistically speaking, the vast majority of women aren't hardwired competitors like we as men are. And they won't even be thinking that way. It's not like, okay, I fly my own airplane, I race Ducatis, can you be a better pilot than me? Can you beat me in a motorcycle road race? Women don't even think like that. That's male thinking. That's masculinity. That's providing and protecting talking. Gentlemen, she wants you to be confident as a masculine provider and protector, but your areas of badassery almost always do not have to be the same as hers. In short, any perceived problem of this kind is usually ours, not hers. I mean, there have been female captains of industry who were married to concert pianists, etc., etc. This is how women roll. And as soon as we realize that she doesn't think like a man, we're going to be all right, and we're going to be able to respect and actually enjoy and appreciate where a woman's a badass, even where we're not. Now, also importantly, a woman may be socially confident, which is very visible and valuable as a form of confidence. But because she has that handled, she may not need you to be confident in that area either. It happens all the time. The strong, silent type of guy is married to the social butterfly, right? So it is indeed worth noticing here that a lot of women do have social confidence, but that does not translate to overall general confidence. Remember, gentlemen, almost none of us in this life, I mean, I'd love to see an example if he or she is out there, are universally confident. In other words, throw us in any situation and we will be competent enough to be able to boldly go out there and feel like we can get the job done. It doesn't exist. So it's time to stop pressuring ourselves to believe it does. She may be socially confident. She may be a badass in some areas. She may be confident enough to believe she's good enough for you. And gentlemen, that does have to be good enough for you. One last point to make here. We talked before about how women will practice performative confidence. If she's coming off fake at all, guess what, guys? That's a red flag. Now, if a woman has kind of a take it or leave it attitude, not in a bad way, but in a confident way, right? She's interesting and interested. She believes you should be attracted to her, and she's hopeful about being attracted to you. That is not performative confidence. That's the real deal. If she's trying too hard to be a pleaser, that's performative. I don't even know if that classifies as confidence. But that try-hard mentality tends to backfire on women as much as it does for us as men, doesn't it? Well, all those ways that a woman is trying to act all confident, when there's really not a foundational confidence under there to back it up, gentlemen, believe me when I tell you, it's pretty obvious. Now, we will make excuses all day long for women who are hot, and there are a lot of hot women out there who actually lack confidence. But if we're honest with ourselves, it doesn't take a whole lot of intuition to figure out when a woman's acting fake. Very, very important. Now, let's talk about how a Big Four woman exhibits that second pillar of the Big Four, being feminine in the way we as men define it. Now listen, guys, I've taken my share of surface-level criticism for saying it's women who decide what masculinity is, at least in the sense of turning their feminine nature on with it. But yes, for every man who scoffs at the idea of a woman choosing what turns her on about masculinity, this is where we even the score. This is where we get to define what femininity looks like that turns us on. After all, masculinity and femininity are the catalysts of sexual attraction, therefore they have to polarize like magnets and ignite each other. What is that feminine energy that ignites our masculinity all about? Well, in my estimation, feminine gifts look like this. Everything we live for on the weekends, gentlemen. Joy, hospitality, fun, play, relaxation, comfort, luxury, beauty, and we as men need to learn to embrace and accept those gifts lest women stop bothering to try to bestow them upon us. You see, if women are trying to bestow those gifts upon us and we're too macho or too cool to accept them, women will stop trying because we will have led. Now, if you want a visual example of this, consider the physicality of men versus women. Guys, we're kind of built like the human equivalent of a pickup truck, right? We're utilitarian. We're built for work. Form follows function with us in terms of how we're physically made. Women are shaped like sports cars. Women are curvy, voluptuous, beautiful, and women's bodies are all about pure beauty. You see that? Masculinity and femininity by design, it's everywhere. All you have to do is look around and notice it. But ultimately, when it comes down to the nuances of what femininity is and what it represents for yourself, you're going to be the judge of your feminine match. You know, it's perfectly okay for you to value certain feminine gifts more than others, for certain aspects of femininity to turn you on more than they do other men, for certain representations of feminine form or action to turn you on more than they do other men. Guys, that's just what makes certain women our type compared to some other guy's potential girlfriend, and it's what makes some women more attracted to us than others, even if we're handling ourselves in a masculine manner, even if we are truly masculine at our core as a Big Four man. That's all okay. Not only does femininity in general decide what masculinity is and vice versa, feminine people decide what masculinity looks like for them and vice versa, and you certainly hold that right and privilege when it comes to deciding the women who are going to grace your presence in this life. Now, to get you kind of started there, here are some questions to ask yourself. Does she follow your lead? How much do you want her to be independent versus being, well, for lack of a better word, dependent on you or somewhere in between? Does she accept your provision and protection? Does she believe in trad wife gender roles or match up with your vision for a modern woman who brings feminine gifts? You see, lots of guys want women to go out there and get a job. They don't need her to act like a trad wife. They may even cringe at the idea of her being barefoot and pregnant. It doesn't matter what you envision in terms of what femininity looks like to you. You may desire a woman who will go out there and do adventures with you, be athletic, and that in your estimation doesn't compromise her femininity in any way, shape, or form. You may like gritty women, you might like women who are a little tough around the edges, or you might not. But see, if a woman is feminine in your estimation, and she's igniting your masculinity, chances are, not only have you found a great partner for yourself, at least in terms of that pillar of the Big Four, but she's going to respond powerfully to your masculine leadership as you choose her feminine style and her feminine form. You see how that works? Do you see how elegant in its simplicity that is, and how beautiful in its daily reality it can be? Well, on the other hand, what about toxic femininity? Well, it exists. It's every bit as valid a concept as that of toxic masculinity. You just hear about it less. Does she try to hijack your virtuous masculinity and do the heavy lifting of maleness herself, especially while offering little or nothing in return? Does she throw roadblocks or unnecessary challenges at your ability to provide and protect for her and perhaps even your family? Does she pit you against other men? Does she exhibit very petty or extreme jealousy that makes it very hard for you to be a masculine man? Does she eat at your confidence, which, by the way, is not gender specific? When we try to knock down a woman's confidence, we're not being very big for ourselves either. But any of those red flags would say that she is potentially a toxic feminine woman. Anytime a woman runs a double standard where she's playing the weakness card just to make you try harder and do more, and then doesn't appreciate that, and any woman who refuses to bestow feminine gifts upon you after you've been generous in bestowing masculine gifts upon her needs to be avoided. It's a huge red flag, gentlemen. Now, indeed, a woman can be a bit more fearful than a man and still be a high-quality woman, but she can't descend into full-on jealousy or, dare I say, phobias of any kind. Is neediness more acceptable in women? Well, where do you draw that line when finding the balance between independence and her being a full-on leech? If you're a provider and a protector, and it's your job in your estimation as a masculine man, as it should be, to protect and provide, is it okay that she's needy of that? Or do you need her to be a little bit more independent in the year 2026 and beyond? Well, these are questions you answer for yourself, because you're the curator, you are the arbitrator of that which is female in your life and what femininity means to you as a man. And now, the third pillar of the Big Four, a woman who actually likes men. Well, listen, guys, how did we even get here? This seems obvious, right? If a woman doesn't like men, you know, what good is she? If we don't like women, what value do we have to women? Well, originally, this third pillar of the Big Four was about creating safety and security. And if you've indeed been following X and Y Communications for years and years, you remember that I talked about this probably up until 3 or 4 years ago, creating safety and security as that third pillar of the Big Four. But as I considered more and more where we were at as a society in the here and now, even though safety and security is something that's very, very important to women, enough that it probably deserves its own pillar in the Big Four, if it's that integral to masculinity, then it should indeed be rolled up as part of masculinity, that second pillar of the Big Four. Now, how does that pillar apply to women? Well, consider the analogy of a father eagle and a mother eagle protecting their nest. Women nurture children and keep them safe and cared for at the domicile level, whereas we as men are more about guarding the perimeter and bringing home the fruit of our hunting expeditions, right? But indeed, ultimately, from now on going forward, creating safety and security is a part of that second pillar of the Big Four, not its own standalone pillar. So having explained that, let me tell you the premise behind making that third pillar mutual admiration and like towards motos, right? Well, over the past couple of decades, there's been pressure on the relationship between men and women. You guys have certainly noticed it. I wouldn't call it a war between the sexes. It may have seemed like that during the feminist 60s and women burning their bras and everything, and perhaps even through the late 2010s with the Me Too movement and Believe All Women, the future is female slogans, etc. But weirdly, in my opinion, tragically, in recent years, it feels more like a mutual surrender than a war. I mean, it's like men and women have given up on each other. We don't even have a desire for each other anymore, let alone a relationship or marriage or making babies or growing old together and building a legacy. Add it all up, and it's harder than ever before in the history of mankind to find modos who actually like each other. Now, I'd argue that for us as men, liking women is actually 90% of the battle at this point. Gentlemen, you have almost no competition if you can nail down this pillar of the big four. And women, same thing. So many women are so jaded against men that if you find a woman who's desirable to you, beautiful, sexy, and sweet, and she doesn't have a whole lot of baggage she's carrying against men or an axe she's grinding against us, you're going to almost be shocked, aren't you? So I ask you to consider this. How do you respond when you meet a woman who actually, obviously, and unequivocally adores men? Well, yeah, right? First it's shock, but then it's delight. Then you relax. Then you connect with her. Can you see how this would go both ways? If you're a man who likes women and you meet a woman who likes men, both of you are deserving what you want. So what does this look like? Well, first, a woman will say so. She'll admit she likes men, right? There's no need to front there. If a woman says she doesn't like men and she's angry at all guys and starts talking like all guys are the same, y'all do this, y'all do that, you're probably just like my ex, then act like she means it. It's a red flag. So all those blatant or even subtle references to all men being the same, etc., should be taken seriously. A good woman who actually loves men, a big four woman, isn't comparing you to the men who behaved badly, whether they were in her life or just someone she read about in Cosmo magazine. She's also optimistic towards you being a good, decent man who will respect her rather than clearly waiting for some sort of Jekyll and Hyde transformation from you sooner than later. Now, that said, men will sometimes cling to a woman for years out of desperation, and all the while, that woman was waiting for the shoe to drop. Isn't that crazy? But it happens all the time. I shouldn't have to say this, but I must in this context. Most women out there, gentlemen, really actually do like and want men. Or at the very least, they want to like men and want men. Societal pressure on the relationship between men and women is significant. And some women have been indoctrinated to it without any real direct cause, anything that actually happened in their life to precipitate it. Now, if they've had a string of bad experiences with men, you know, that's going to give her more fuel for the fire and perhaps cause her to get a genuine dislike for men going in her life. But listen, gentlemen, there's a lot of women out there who are not victims. And they choose to adore men regardless of what their past is, giving big four men the benefit of the doubt. That's what a big four woman would do. That's what a big four woman should do. And indeed, you can put the shoe on the other foot. And we gentlemen should meet a good woman and expect her to stay good, to stay big four until she proves us wrong. Now, I talked a minute ago about how some women may kind of play act that they don't like men, even if they really actually do. Sometimes you see this in movies. You'll see a woman who's really feminist and she doesn't like men, but as soon as a big four man comes and sweeps her off her feet, she indeed falls into his arms and she adores him. It happens all the time in movies and TV. So women can indeed give lip service to this man bashing because it seems like a cool way to fit in with other chicks in this particular cultural zeitgeist, or even, once again, as a protection mechanism. She wants to find a guy who's a provider and a protector, but there are a lot of bad actors out there, and she wants to put up a front to keep them away. But see, the facade falls like a house of cards once a big four man gains her trust and makes her feel safe. It happens in the movies, and it happens in real life. This is extremely common, and you have to watch carefully in the early stages, stay objective rather than, well, being clouded by beauty vision again, and perhaps be a bit patient, although you shouldn't have to wait more than just a few dates to have a pretty good idea of where her head really is. Guys, watch for the red flags. Don't be clouded by beauty vision. If she needs to get the heave-ho, let her become some other guy's problem. But don't start waiting for a woman to become a man basher when she has no intention of being anything other than sweet and good to you. That's the big takeaway here. That fourth pillar of the big four is good character. Again, not just character. There's bad character and even no character, as we've talked about before. And listen, don't believe all women. All women aren't angels simply because they're female, just like all men aren't terrible simply because we're male. There are people of good character, bad character, and no character of both genders. Yes, if she wants to do right, ease pain instead of causing it, leave the world a better place, tell the truth, and let her yeses and nos hold true. If she's generally a giver, not just a taker, and she's typically sane and rational rather than out of control and unreasonable, she does the right and just thing to the benefit of the parties involved, even when nobody else is looking, well then, chances are, if she's consistent, at least most of the time, at least she wants to be consistent most of the time in those areas, then she is indeed a woman of good character who's exhibiting that fourth pillar of the big four. Now, that last bit in particular, about doing the right and just thing to the benefit of all parties involved, even when nobody else is looking, is extremely important. Because our private lives need to reflect good character every bit as much as our public-facing lives, or else it's all a sham. Now, generally speaking, just like being quote-unquote Mr. Nice Guy is performatively manipulative and needy on the part of a man, being Ms. Nice Girl is not high character for a woman either. I mean, if she's just trying to manipulate you or get something out of you, or she believes she's going to lose you because she lacks confidence, just like those are ugly, non-big four traits for men, so it goes for women. Ms. Nice Girl is every bit not a big four woman as Mr. Nice Guy is not a big four man. Very important to know. Next, a woman, indeed, has to be willing to do hard things, partner with you on tough decisions, and agree that the pretty, easy, or pleasant thing to do might not always be the right thing to do. That's a part of not being Ms. Nice Girl, just like it's a part of not being Mr. Nice Guy. The right thing to do might not be the nice thing to do. And I'll tell you what, if you want to marry a woman who's going to be a good mother to your children, mark that last point down in particular. But good character has nuance, even though it's often rooted in faith-based principles. The important part is both of you believe in similar positive good principles and abide by them together, and also personally in your public and private lives, right? I want to underscore that you and she can definitely be big four people even without faith identification. But the elements of your character have to be decided upon, grounded, and truly believed in. And a big four woman's character traits have to match up very closely with yours, or no deal. Now, make no mistake, gentlemen, you can't teach her, train her, or fix her. You'll likely not even be able to influence her. If she doesn't come pre-equipped with good character, well, that's a deal breaker. Also, just like good character is the linchpin of long-term success together, it takes a significant time to test and prove. Emily and I adored each other fast based on the first three pillars, but we basically spent 9 months together every day, joined at the hip, to prove out this point alone. Now, why is this necessary? Well, the uncanny thing is people with poor character tend to fully understand the difference between right and wrong and exploit it, boiling the proverbial frog over time, you see. They'll be nice to us, They'll do the right thing. We'll start thinking, hey, they're a pretty good person. And then they'll push the envelope slightly, then a little bit more so over time. They'll appear to be good character people at first. And then they'll see how far they can devolve into a poor character person and weave their petty pace in this life and in our lives without us pushing back. They may even hope to sort of indoctrinate us into compliance. Well, these are patterns any people of poor character use, not necessarily just the clinically narcissistic or psychopathic ones. But make no mistake, good character is generally optimistic rather than pessimistic. So it really is hard, it's difficult, for a Big Four person to accept there really are bad, depraved, morally bereft people out there. And this is made even more complicated on the part of us as men because we've kind of been indoctrinated for so long into feeling like women can do no wrong and men can do no right. So gentlemen, when a woman of poor character indeed enters into your life or attempts to, you got to be vigilant and you've got to kick her to the curb, let some other guy deal with her, and go meet your Big Four woman. Now, if you meet a woman who is broken because of past trauma and starts fitting that persona of hurt people, well then, that particular woman has got to face up to and heal that trauma before being relationship material. As harsh as it sounds, she's just not Big Four yet, gentlemen. And if you're a Big Four man, she doesn't deserve you. The big thing to remember in this context is this. Does she want to heal the trauma? Or is it at best a ruse to keep you involved with her, even though she has no intention of changing? Now, unfortunately, this shadow of lip service to building good character is extremely common. It's relatively rare for a woman to exhibit poor character up front. She's not going to just show up and be nasty and awful. Although if you do see red flags, like treating others poorly, especially family members or even her own kids, openly fudging the truth, even if or especially if it's on your behalf in the appearance of protecting or supporting your position, like out in public she'll lie for you, or running scammy stuff while engaging you to be in on the secret, you know, those behaviors all can masquerade as connection up front. Like she's on your team, she's with you, right? But they're dysfunctional and they're absolute signs of poor character regardless. Also, inciting jealousy by flirting with other men or accepting flirtation or disrespect towards you from them, openly pitting you against other men, right? Creating jealousy. Manufacturing a situation socially where it feels like to another guy that he may have a chance and may be able to make you look stupid or have her turn against you for him, or any other dual standard or mind control tactics such as playing the victim card, leveraging the toxic masculinity angle that women can do no wrong and men can do no right, all of those point to her having poor character. Do not be fooled. Anytime you suspect a woman has a hidden agenda and wants something from you other than a connected, healthy relationship with you, that's a character red flag. And by the way, you're probably right when you notice that. That probably is her intention. And yes, you have to look at a woman's history. Are her previous peccadilloes about immaturity or poor character? The proof is in the appropriate remorse and behavioral change. Now, there's a hint here. If one or both of you is cheating on someone to be together, that's a poor character situation. You're very likely to cheat on each other in the future as well, even though you probably don't want to admit it right now. Gentlemen, add it all up, and this really is the pillar of the Big Four that portends long-term relationship success. If she already seems like your future ex-wife, let her go. All right, so now that you can identify a Big Four woman and spot her out there, how do you actually go about finding and attracting a Big Four woman? Well, first, do not kid yourself. I've mentioned it so far in this audio, and it bears repeating at the very top of this section. Never, ever be clouded by beauty vision. This is a major problem for most men. You know, having a woman who is the whole package is important. And no, you are not shallow for wanting a beautiful, sexy woman. It's okay to want her to be hot, sexy, and have an amazing sex drive even. You can and should want a woman with all of that going for her without ever settling. A big four woman indeed is often extremely beautiful, carries herself in an attractive way, and is a sweetheart on top of all else. I mean, when you think of what the big four represents, how could it be any other way? But you shouldn't expect to make a concession there at the expense of having a big four woman in your life. Forget what you've heard about the hot, crazy matrix, or that all beautiful women coast on their looks at the expense of deeper virtue, etc., etc. Just like there are tons of unattractive women who are not big four, there are plenty of women who are big four and have that whole package working. It's a myth that all of them are taken, too. Remember, if she deserves what she wants, you have less competition for her because she's having a hard time finding a big four man who matches up well with her, just like you may be having a hard time finding a big four woman who matches up with you. That's because the two of you are out there waiting for each other. She is in high demand, don't get me wrong, even by men who aren't big four, right? So think of it this way. When you are a big four man who deserves what he wants, the more likely to attract her you are, because better men indeed get better women, and vice versa. The big four is a framework, but you've got to finish the house. You have to know who you are. Gentlemen, have your identity secured and raked into the barn. You have to know what your character is all about, and then you not only decide what femininity looks like to you and how it attracts you, you then decide also who it is you are truly looking for. You're actively going for her. You're not just letting the next attractive chick fall into your lap and hook you into a relationship. So how do you do that? Well, my tried and true toolkit for doing that has always been what I call the depth chart. The depth chart is basically where you make a spreadsheet, 10 columns across, each one of them named after a trait you value in a woman. Then the rows will be names of women. Then you score every woman across those 10 dimensions of what you really value in a woman and score each dimension from 1 to 10. Once you're done with 10 dimensions times 10 points, you'll have a number between 0 and 100. And it's uncanny how you can score the actual real-world compatibility of any woman just like a term paper. I mean, if she's an 81, she's a B minus. If she's a 96, she's an A, and everywhere else in between. And if she's under 60, well, she fails. And similarly, to go with that depth chart, you also make a deal breaker list that's composed of more binary yes, no factors. So these aren't dimensions that you would rank from 1 to 10. They're simply there or they're not. She's a drug addict. Red flag, deal breaker, that sort of thing. Make these lists now before you meet any more women. That way you can't sort of back a woman you know into a score you'd like for her to have. You know, what these lists do is they balance logic against feelings. So if you're trying to kind of manipulate the score because you want a certain woman who you happen to have the feels for to score higher, well, then you're defeating the whole purpose. Now, what I'm adding to this idea of the depth chart and the deal breaker list that I've admittedly talked about for 20 years now is I'm going to exhort you, gentlemen, to make those lists intentionally centered around the big four, as we're talking about today. Yes, of course you want her to be beautiful, cute, and sexy, to be good in bed, but what about the big four pillars can you write in to that depth chart? What deal breakers clearly demonstrate that a woman is not a big four woman? Build that into these lists because that will be foolproof. If the big four really are that foundational, then they've got to be absolutely a massive part of these lists that you make. And I have to tell you guys, once you go ahead and make a depth chart and make a list of deal breakers and you've hardwired both of them to the big four, go ahead and score women you've known or dated in the past anyway. Their numbers may amaze you in either direction, because you see, this really does give you an objective yardstick by which to evaluate whether or not a woman is right for you. Now, I'm not going to insult your intelligence here, but I'd be remiss if I didn't share places to find big four women. Now, yes, church is obvious, especially if it's a church that preaches what you believe in. Volunteering for charities is also obvious. Women who are good, decent women want to give to other people, right? They're generous. But you can find her out running errands, going to classes, being social, having wholesome fun. I do want to be quick to say that there is some gray area here. A big four woman can absolutely go to a bar and have a few drinks, just like you can as a big four man. But if she's directly involved in low character activities at low character venues, and it happens a lot, and it's even habit for her or part of her general practice, that's certainly her right, but she's not a big four woman at that point. So then, for example, can a stripper be a big four woman? Well, here's the hot take of this whole audio. If your character aligns with hers and your idea of femininity aligns with that, then who am I to judge? There are porn stars out there who form lasting partnerships together, and for the record, plenty of couples with polyamorous or even open relationships also do right by each other and go the distance. So with that out of the way, let's turn our attention to how you actually attract a big four woman. Well, if she's genuine, which a big four woman should be, remember, fakeness betrays lack of confidence. The only way to attract a big four woman then is to be a big four man yourself, of course. You can't fake it, especially if she's not fake herself. Better men get better women. Put those traits and the descriptions we covered at the very beginning of this program to the test. How are you doing? The quality of the women you meet and attract and the quality of your actual relationships with them will improve dramatically the more you become a big four man yourself. That big four standard has been tested and approved for over 2 decades now, and it is the straight up truth. It works. So then, I mean, the question obviously arises, does this mean you have to be Mr. Perfect? And if you are Mr. Perfect, should you settle for no woman less than Ms. Perfect? Are you allowed any vices at all? Well, listen, gentlemen, none of us are perfect. Certainly, you don't want to have any addictions or be downright irresponsible in general in this life or have genuinely evil tendencies. But if you enjoy a nice bourbon or a poker night with the guys, you can indeed still be a big four man, particularly if you and your honey are on the same page character-wise, like I talked about a few minutes ago. I think of it as benign naughtiness rather than full-on bad behavior. We all know women in particular love to do naughty things, whether that's in the bedroom or out there in the world. If your misadventures together are ultimately not hurting yourselves or anyone else, especially long-term, you're probably both still big four people. Intent, frequency, and the extent to which you engage in such behavior has a lot to do with whether it stays benign or not. Anything that's categorically hurtful or illegal is poor character even in small doses. Porn usage, or what faithful monogamy even looks like, those are great examples of where you and she have to be in agreement. So another question I'm sure a lot of you guys are asking, can you date more than one woman at once while still being a big four man? And can you expect to date multiple big four women? Yes, absolutely. Because the key is honesty without oversharing. Do you owe every woman you've ever met who you've gone on a date with the entire truth in lurid detail about every other woman you're seeing and what you've been doing with her and how that relationship's going? No. You just can't lie to a woman and tell her she's the only one when she's not. That's it. And you're going to find plenty of women out there who are playing the field. Some of them are even very horny and don't want to get into a relationship for a long time. They want to stay single and enjoy it. Are they big four women? Well, the catch 22 there is, what does your character look like and what does hers look like? If you believe in a very Judeo-Christian definition of what sexual morality looks like, then maybe that's a no-go. You decide for yourself what big four means to you, what character means to you, and decide who that woman is who matches up with you. And then your dating life should reflect that. Before we close, here's a word on that fifth pillar I've considered adding to the big four before. Several years back, I flirted with the notion of adding that fifth pillar as taking care of a woman in the bedroom. In doing so, I would have effectively created the big five. So it's worth considering here if a woman's ability to satisfy you sexually should be right up there with the importance of the other elements of the big four. Ultimately, I decided that though a nice trait, it feels off-brand with the other core elements. Why? Well, at prima facie, sexual prowess is about skill, not an actual trait. But taking a closer look, a big four woman who is confident, feminine, and likes men will likely at least be open to being better in bed for her man, right? Moreover, being in it only for our own pleasure and gratification wouldn't reflect very good character either. Meanwhile, it certainly holds true that we as big four men should and generally do want the women in our lives to be satisfied. Therefore, men and women taking care of each other in the bedroom is really a byproduct of being a big four human in general. Nevertheless, the skills are extremely valuable. I'd recommend my Behind Closed Doors program for the full deep dive there. What's the bottom line here, gentlemen? Big four men and women aren't only high quality people, their quality of life, especially together, is actually higher. Better decisions, fewer mistakes, more effective relationships with others, and there's nothing better than big four men and women in partnership, because 1 + 1 doesn't merely equal 2. Together, supporting and building each other up as a team, both your mutual satisfaction and your positive impact on the world together, including that positive impact on your eventual family, is exponentially greater than the sum of the parts. This has been the Big Four Woman, and I'm Scott McKay from XMY Communications. If you have questions about this audio or anything else going on in your life with women, email me at scott@mountaintoppodcast.com. And remember, my name's spelled with one T, S-C-O-T. Also, be sure to subscribe and listen to the Mountaintop Podcast. If you feel like you want to go deeper into this subject or get any other area of improvement with women or your career handled, your first 25 minutes on Zoom with me is always free. You can make that happen at mountaintoppodcast.com as well, or from the download area for this particular program. Be good out there.